Access Show.
Touchdown, Tampa Bay!
On your home for the Buccaneers, 620 WDAE and US 1035. Here's your host, Scott Ledger.
Well, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Welcome in. It is, Thanksgiving Eve, as they say. The final show for the week. There'll be no show tomorrow night, of course, no Josh Freeman show. And Friday night, there'll be no Buccaneers Total Access. So I figured we'd finish it off with a captain. You know what I'm saying? Good to see you, Captain. Captain number 52, Jeff Fain. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
We got a lot to talk about, but first and foremost, let me check on you and your leg. I didn't really ever had a chance to talk to you. When I heard tear, and when I think leg muscle tear, I think the only thing I could have ever like torn was like a hamstring or a groin. What did you? You tore your quad?
Yeah, I tore my quad, and
there's like three heads on the quad,
right? And I tore two of the three. Oh no, actually, there's four.
Oh yeah, yeah, right. yes, quad black. Two big ones, and then the two down
two,
by the
two
knee.
Two of the four. Yeah, I tore the VMO, and then which is the one that's on the inner portion of your knee near the bottom of, or excuse me, inner portion of your leg near your knee, and then one below. Basically below the top portion of my leg, and it was pretty painful.
What'd you do for rehab? Was that just like electrolytes, stimulus, that kind of stuff?
Yeah,
like
we started off extremely slow, and it was basically letting it cool down, getting swelling out of it, and there was a lot of bleeding and a lot of swelling and inflammation. The first week was pretty boring, just a lot of ice and that was pretty much it. And just really trying to stay off as much as possible. Mm-hmm. And as we started coming back, we started walking in the water, walking in the pool and started, trying to strengthen it, slowly. And it just started to pick up pretty quickly. And I ended up coming back about 2 weeks before they thought I would.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question, was you seem to accelerate. Because I had thought 4 to 6 weeks is what I
originally
heard.
Yeah, they were saying 4 to 6, and it was really it was really 6 to 8. But it was a blessing. And usually I heal, pretty fast anyways. I came back early last year.
Yeah, with the triceps.
Yep. So
I remember.
At least one good thing I got going for me is I can heal fast.
Well, let's get into the – good for you, man. Good for you. And, the knee thing was last year, and nothing against the guy who subbed for you last year. But this year, Jeremy Zuda had to step in your place. And then it was kind of – we saw lots of adjustments in the O-line in the last couple of weeks. We've seen Kedrick released. We've seen James Lee playing at right tackle and stuff. I say kudos to your head coach and your general manager saying, I want a healthy competition at every position on this football team, regardless of your status, regardless of who you play. Mm-hmm. And I want, James Lee to push Trueblood. I want Zuda to push Fain. And I think with the addition of LeGarrette Blount, I don't want to get ahead of myself. We get so many things we can talk about. But it just seems like there's a little bit of a tude. It's like there's a new mix of players in there. And, how's that been? I mean, and you're back, of course.
Right. Yeah. That's basically what it was, and it gives you a little more incentive to work extremely hard. And it takes that that complacency and the comfort level out of it, which is a good thing on one end. And on the other hand, it's not, it's an uneasy feeling, to be uncomfortable. And I haven't felt that way in a while, but it was good, and it was a good test, and I guess I passed. The thing that was displayed was the fact that Zuta is definitely a guy that can come in and the guy that can play and a guy that can start, and I think that we're trying to find ways to get him on the field and work him in there, and obviously he played a pretty good portion of the San Fran game. I know that we'd like to be able to get him out there more. And, obviously a lot of the guys that have been here, when you're played with a guy before and you've played with him for, last year we played with him for a year, you feel partial, and you feel partial to guys. And,
yep.
And, I think, the crew up front, obviously we're pulling for whoever can help us win the games. But, there's a little selfish part of it that you hope your guy can get back out there and play and be a part of it. And, things are going well. Things are going great right now. And, obviously things didn't go the way that we wanted them to last year. And we like to be able to have the guys that, that went through that to be able to enjoy these good times.
You know, the optimist in me is also going to add that, you know, coming in August, a lot of people were talking about, hey, you know, the wide receiving core, but, boy, we're real thin at O-line.
Right.
We can't lose anybody at O-line. Remember hearing that all the time?
Yeah, and that
well,
was...
Well, now I'm looking at depth.
Right, exactly.
This is what I'm seeing.
Well, that's the thing is we are definitely deep now at the offensive line.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know... I don't know if the front office, you know, felt that way, but they definitely feel that way now. But we felt that way. We felt that the guys that we had in the room, that we could depend on them. But everybody's battle tested now. And that's
I think until you see the guy step up, you only can imagine in your mind, you know, there's going to be a huge drop off here.
Right.
Or there's going to be, and then you, suddenly, you know, here comes Ted Larson.
Right.
And you know, hey, you know, the Patriots got a good O-line.
Yeah.
So if that guy's sitting on the Patriots practice squad, he can play.
Right.
So now, you know, that's all said and done. Let me ask you, you've already played two teams you used to play with. You beat the Browns earlier and you lost to Tuffy. But how does 7-3 feel, man? It's got to feel pretty darn good.
It does feel good. You know, and it, the scary thing about it, though, is that I was here when we were 9-3. You know, and
that's right, third year, with John.
And so the thing is that I think the guys that are here – We're not you know resting on our laurels, and we're not comfortable with the fact that we're 7-3. And like a lot of guys that weren't there for that, that you know it's a little bit of a different story. But
sure.
Trust me, we're quick to remind them that you know nothing's been done yet. So we're still working hard, and it does feel good. It feels obviously a lot better than what it was feeling last year. But there's some finished business, and we still got a long way to go. And this team had a goal to be able to make the playoffs this year, and you know we're on the way, but. There's still a lot, you know. There's still a bunch of tough teams that we have to play. This week is no different. And you know, any given week, you know, the old adage is that you know anybody can beat anybody in this league, and that's very very true.
I got to talk to you about moving the sticks. Sometimes it's maybe just two first downs and a punt. Sometimes it's three. Sometimes it's a big change of field position. Sometimes it's a drive for a field goal, and of course, sometimes it's a drive for a touchdown. But we're seeing a lot less three and outs. Last year,
right.
The defense got a lot of reps because the offense was struggling. And
right.
This year, you know, it's almost there's sidebars to sidebars to sidebars because some of that is LeGarrette Blount running the ball and stuff. And some of it is Greg Olsen calling imaginative plays. And some of it's Donald Penn catching touchdowns and flea flickers. But the bottom line is, Jeff, you know, you guys are being productive on offense, especially in the last couple of games and earlier in games. You're starting to get off to faster starts in the last couple of games.
Right. You know, I think, you know, if I had to put my, you know, I've had to put my finger on just a couple things. You know, one of the biggest things is continuity. You know, a lot of people don't realize, or I guess quick to forget, that we changed offensive coordinators, you know, 7 days before the regular season started last year. And with a transitional starting quarterback that knew that he was the transition.
Who got no reps in the preseason.
Yeah. Who knew he was the transition guy. You know, for me personally, if I was that guy, it'd be hard for me to, you know, and the competitor in me wouldn't want to accept that position, but it'd be hard for me to accept that role and to hear this is all about, we're trying to develop Josh Freeman and to get the best play that you could, you know, that you could muster up. It's tough, but it is what it was, you know, and that's what it was. And, you know, we drafted Josh Freeman in the first round. And we're looking to develop him over the year, you know, and shelve him and you know, and hopefully just develop him through practice. And you know, obviously the story is what it was. The biggest difference is continuity. You know, we have Coach Olsen that's been here for basically all of last season, this entire off season, last season and this off season. And has been able to work with Josh, work with our receivers, work with, you know, our offensive line coach. And we've really put together a good plan. And we've had the opportunity for Josh Freeman to work with these young wide receivers in the offseason. And they've been able to work together and really put some special things together. But, you know, if it's one finger on that, the next finger is on Josh Freeman and his development and his maturation process. I think that, you know, I think most people would think that he would be doing the things he's doing in year three or four. I think he's a little ahead of schedule of what most people thought he could do. I think that's a credit to, one, his coaching, and two, his drive and what he wants to do and what how hard he's willing to work.
Yeah, he wants to be great.
Yeah, he does.
He wants to be great.
And that's a special attribute that a lot of players don't really have. And then I think we're another thing for the success of our offense this year is the balance that we're able to do. We've developed and actually, in the beginning, the first quarter of the season, we weren't running the ball well.
No.
And we've developed. And I think a big part of that, honestly, is that people are having to respect our passing game. It's been able to take the safeties out of the boxes. It's been able to lighten it up a little bit. They have to respect it. And then with the addition of Blunt, he's a solid back that is able to give us the grueling, three, four, five, that eventually turn into, six, seven, eight. And then you have a couple big ones. And then you have Cadillac Williams back there that hits a couple home runs every so often as well. So it's those are a couple things. And then also I have to give kudos to our wide receiving core, because really beyond, Maurice Stovall and
Michael Spurlock's got about 5 years in the league, but I think he's got fewer catches in years.
Those are the two guys I was about. Yeah. Michael Spurlock, without those two, you're talking about all rookies.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys are playing extremely, extremely great football, playing beyond their years and really, contributing, at a high, high level to our offense. And it's been fantastic. And, I have to give credit where credit is due, and hopefully it gives me a couple points, is Mark Donlin has done a great job of really assembling this team and from top to bottom and really building it organically, from rookies on. And
it's a good word. I like that. It really does build chemistry.
Yeah, it does.
It's hard to have lots of free agents coming in all the time. And when you try to build a super team, you can do it. I mean, look at the team you're playing right now. There's a lot of veterans on the Baltimore Ravens.
It is. And it was,
a lot
it,
of
it
veterans.
Was, and it's a lot of guys that they've only played for the Baltimore Ravens their entire career.
But they're picking, they got a Bolden. They went out and got an Anquan Bolden.
Sure.
They're saying,
you look close.
At,
you look at that defense, though, and it's guys like Kelly Gregg, who's been with the Baltimore Ravens forever. Ray Lewis, Nada.
Suggs. Yep.
Reed in the secondary. Those are guys that were all, drafted and brought in by the ball. Yeah.
And it's
a group that has been put together. And this, also goes, a little credit that, a little point that I actually like to point out as well, some of the things that we're doing here around here that I think is great, for the growth and the maturation of this team, is instead of going out, and for the fans that are listening that don't know this, on Tuesdays, usually when you come in, you get treatment, there's 20 guys working out on the field trying to earn a spot on this roster. And one of the things that we've been doing lately here, and I think is great, is we've been promoting guys from the practice squad from within,
They've been traveling with you.
They've been traveling with us to learn how to conduct business as a pro.
Sure.
And it's something that I think is a fantastic, fantastic deal. Something that Coach Morris and Mark Dominic have instilled this mindset that we're going to build a team from within and promote from within. And it's been something that's been successful.
It absolutely has. It's just been a great year to watch. Jeff and I were talking. Is it Oliver Twist? You have this orphanage of kids and a couple old guys hanging around. You and Rondé, man.
Yeah.
Obviously, Ryan Sims was just released. So, yes, the team is even younger. They brought in.
You got rid of one that was older than me, which is
Kendrick Vincent. Kendrick Vincent was released.
Yes.
Okay. So
I'm the fourth oldest on the team, which is kind of scary. But, I'm 29 years old. And I'm the fourth oldest.
No,
the team. That's an unbelievable fact.
Well, you're halfway to Yoda, man. You're way up there. You're like Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
People are going to start looking. Well, perfect example. We're going to hit a break, but as you talked about, this was a 9-3 football team coming into December two years ago, and everybody was all talking the playoffs. We're going this, and we lost four straight games,
right.
And we didn't sniff the playoffs.
Right.
So that's the kind of message you tell the wide receiver down blocker who's saying, yeah, this is going to be great. And you go, wait a minute. I want to show you some film from an Oakland game and a Carolina game that we wish we had back. Absolutely. All right, guys, get on the phone lines. Talk to Jeff Fain. It is our Thanksgiving edition of Buccaneers Total Access. No Josh Freeman show tonight or tomorrow night, and no show on Friday night as well. Turkey Day tomorrow. Football, three NFL games on, all kinds of college football. Just a great time to be a football fan in Tampa Bay. 813-990-4620. 727-461-4620 or 1-800-596-BUCKS. We're coming back on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Buccaneers Total Access returns on 620 WDAE at US 1035, the home of the Buccaneers.
Welcome back, Buccaneers Total Access. Ledge alongside football player slash entrepreneur, part-time oil man,
philanthropist,
just one of those guys you're going to read about on the internet in like 10 years. Welcome to the Thanksgiving edition. What's Thanksgiving like for you, man? What are you grateful for right now?
Oh, I have a lot to be grateful for. Not a lot of people know this. My mom was diagnosed with cancer earlier this year. And she recently went into remission, so it's
awesome.
Fantastic times going on in my household, and we're really, really happy about that. And, we had a little bit of a scare last week, but she's doing well, and, it's something that we're extremely happy that she's, obviously going to be able to continue to join us this year for Thanksgiving, and it's a great time, it's one of those times where, you just kind of are able to really reflect on what's really important in this world. And, I have a feeling that this Thanksgiving is going to be pretty special.
Awesome. I just wrote down helicopter because I sit over here in the parking lot at $1 sometimes. Just writing some notes down before I come in. And, of course, Bayflight goes right over the top of here, and at least one or two lands every afternoon.
Yeah.
And I just sat there and I thought about, as tough as things are in people's lives out there and the economy is so rough on so many of our listeners right now, sometimes it's very difficult not to think about what you do have. You have the tendency to focus on what you don't have. And that's really what Thanksgiving is to remind, look at the example you just got from Jeff Fain. I want to say happy Thanksgiving to all our listeners and thank you for your support to the radio crew and everybody. And it's just been, I think it's going to be one of those magical years for a very young football team. Let's get back. You and I were talking, and Jeff, we're talking about Cody Graham. A buddy of mine was asking me today about him. He goes, how big is he really? And I said, what did you say when you saw him in August?
Yeah, I haven't really actually ever shared this story with Cody.
His training camp, August.
Yeah. But, he's great, great, obviously been doing extremely well for us this year. But when he first showed up as a rookie, you always kind of see those rookies that come in fresh-faced and really just, don't really know what's going on, trying to fill it all out. And then I saw him walk in, and I really just was like, I took a second look and almost, wondered, after just giving the front office all these kudos, I wondered, what are we doing? And this kid just walked in, just doesn't look like he belongs, just a guy that, doesn't exactly look like
he could do some face paint or something, rough it up a little.
Exactly.
Doesn't
look like it.
Like Chris Hovan used to do that too, because Chris used to say, "I got such a boyish face that I put the face paint on." So we'll get him some Batman outfit or something.
Try and grow out a beard or something. I don't know, but he's a guy that definitely surprised me, definitely shocked me, and has been playing extremely well for us. And, come and filled the shoes of Tanar Jackson and has filled them well. He's been playing extremely well and it's a great asset to our team.
All right, we're going to go to Greg. You're up first. Everybody can get right behind Greg at 813-990-4620. Got two open lines right there. We want to get as many Buck fans on. This is our last show of the week, 727-461-4620. How you doing, Greg? Welcome to Buccaneers Total Access.
Hey, great. Thanks for taking my call. Jeff, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, and hope you have a great one.
Thank you.
I'm glad you're back. And I had a question. I've been an athlete in high school and a little bit in college, soccer, football, and I'm amazed how quickly you came back from that injury. And just want to know, I'll hang up with your answer. Is it a combination of things, or you just heal well, or what do you do to get back so quickly from such a devastating injury?
Right. You know, it wasn't. It wasn't 100% healed, and to be honest, it's still not. It's just something I've really mentally just try and, you know, just try and stay strong. We have a fantastic training staff here that took extremely, you know, good care of me, and you know, rehabbed me well and worked me well and worked hard. And then when I made the decision to come back, you know, a little early, they had the faith in me and trust in me to know that I was doing the right thing. And it's something that, you know, I'd be untruthful if I didn't. If I didn't, you know, say that I wasn't a little nervous about it at first, and actually as the game went through with against the Panthers, you know, there was at some points in times where it was a little uncomfortable. But, you know, it's just one of those things that you just kind of have to block out and just keep playing through. And but a lot of rehab, a lot of rest, you know, doing the right things, icing it, and, you know, good nutrition. And just, you know, I, at the end of the day, good genetics, I guess, that you know, was – you know, I was blessed to be able to come back early and be a kind of a quick healer.
What do you think the percentage of people are in your locker room that have at least one injury that they're playing with right now?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this time of year?
At this time of year, everybody has a little bit of something.
Yeah.
You know, and you know what's funny is that I was actually just I was talking the other day to an old friend that I hadn't talked to in probably about 8 years. And, you know, we're just kind of catching up. It was a friend from college. And, you know, they're asking me just, you know, have you been healthy? And it's just mentally just thinking about it day to day. I think, you know, yeah, I'm pretty healthy. I haven't had anything major. And I just started going down the list of things, you know. And really, as I just started going down the thing, I mean, bicep, tricep, pec, you know, quad, you know, calf. I mean, and, you know, everything. I mean, it was just unbelievable how many things I've gone through with, you know, the back and everything. You know, the list just grows. And the story is no different for a lot of guys in the locker room, and especially guys, you know, that play on the line up front with the offense and defensive lines that have contact and serious contact every single game, and, you know, in most plays. So it's a pretty interesting story.
Do you find yourself overcompensating sometimes and creating a new injury sometimes?
You know,
some players end up. I think that could have happened to Brian Bryce, that kind of thing. Maybe he's compensating for a hamstring. And there's too much weight on one side of the hip, that kind of thing.
You know, that can definitely happen. You know, I know that 4 years ago is when I was still with the Saints. I had a little issue with a hamstring. A hamstring was tight, and I was overcompensating for it, and I ended up having some back problems too, some back issues.
Yeah,
and it's because I changed my running pattern, and you know, your body's just, you know, gets a little off balance, and it doesn't respond the way it should. And those are the little things that, you know, it's crazy how perfectly tuned the human body is, and just the little things can really set everything off.
Can get out of balance in a hurry. That's for sure. You athletes know all about it too. That's why the training staffs work so hard. And the strength and conditioning coaches and the stretching you have to do and the body maintenance that's, you know, you stand around doing. All those things that, you know, you look like you're bored off your butt at the beginning of practice, but that's the stuff that keeps you balanced.
No, the strength and conditioning staff, you know, Curtis Schultz here at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is a fantastic strength coach, and he does a fantastic job, especially, you know, kind of curtailing, you know, workouts. You know, a guy like myself is in a little different situation than one of those younger guys, you know, the rookies and second year guys that don't really necessarily have all the issues or, you know, have some history with some problems that they have to work around. And he does a fantastic job of putting together workouts that we can work around issues and still maintain our strength and still, you know, compete at a high level.
I know it's during the middle of the season, and if you guys are nursing injuries, but Donald Penn sat down and says there's a healthy competition in the weight room.
Yeah.
When it comes to, you know, the basic benching and things like that. And tell me a little bit about that.
You know, I'm not a guy that really tries to get into all the competition. You know, at the end of the day, for me personally, I just want to be able to go out and do a great job on the football field.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at. And I used to be the guy that used to try and, you know, squat 800 pounds, 900 pounds. And that's how I ended up blowing my back out 4 years ago and got a herniated disc and all this. But there's definitely, you know, a healthy competition between some guys on, you know, in the weight room, and when it comes to benching and whatnot. And there's a lot of trash talking. You know, a guy that actually has a lot of pride in it is DeMar Dotson.
Does he?
And he you know, sometimes he bites off a little more than he can chew.
The real wobbly arms.
But it's nothing but good competition, and it rises the best out of everybody. And it's good to see that, you know, that competitive spirit, especially even in the weight room. You know, it's good to see that.
There's a book that the people in the media get. It has almost every stat you'd ever want, frontwards, backwards. But O-line people don't have stats, so. Yeah. Donald Penn has a stat now.
He does.
And, you know, we got to talk about Donald Penn's stat there because
he's been talking about it.
Well, first of all, what was it like on the flight back, or were you guys just all sleeping?
I purposely sat on the other side of the from DP.
Just putting the Walkman in, plugging in the Walkman.
No, he self-proclaimed the third best hands on the team. To be honest with you, though, it was actually a fantastic catch.
It was.
It was a low ball, and it was no body. It was all hands, it looked like he'd been doing it his whole life. But, we're extremely happy for him. You know, we were running over there trying to celebrate with him. He just wouldn't stop running. We're just like chasing him around, like little kids. But it was amazing for him to be able to have the opportunity to do that. And it's such a clutch situation in the game. It took us up three scores, and it really was able to, you know, let us all kind of, you know, ease off a little bit, and it actually allowed our defense to really get after it and really go after those guys and not worry about, you know, too much, you know, at risk. It was just you know, a perfect time to be able to pull that play out.
Well, that was set up by a guy, one of the few, who's actually older than you. Rondé Barber gets his 40th
Huge.
Pick, basic cover two,
Huge.
Just sitting there looking at the eyes of the quarterback going, I do this in my sleep, kind of an interception.
Yeah, I didn't even let him get back to the sideline before I ran out there and started talking trash about the fact that he didn't take that to the house.
Yes.
And he's like, yeah, I'm too old, man. Exactly how he says it. I'm too old, man. And I just,
God, that's not a bad Rondé.
Yeah,
do that again. That's pretty good. Yeah. Coach does a good Rondé, too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, what can you say about this guy? He's going to retire when he's ready on his terms. He's already said he only wants to ever wear a Buccaneer uniform.
All right.
So I think it'll basically go by not whether his heart's in it. You know, the body will just say no.
Right.
You know, you'll show up at camp 1 year and just go, I'm done. But until then, with a young team, and, you know, it's kind of like, when you look at the different positions, you know, wide receiver's kind of young, and, you know, O-line's got you, and Rondé's in the backfield, and, you know, Barrett's in the linebacker crew. So there's at least one kind of like a good veteran in that field. But Rondé just seems to be, and I've seen him play quiet games where he doesn't do much talking, but this year he seems very fired up this year.
He's a little saucy. Oh, no. He's definitely, I mean, like, I saw the one play last week, you know, and when I saw it, I was like, oh, no, they're going to throw a flag. But I guess this is Rondé Barber. They don't throw flags.
No, I'm just kidding.
But when he tackled a guy and, kind of pulled his legs up off the ground and, like, pulled the guy up like he's, like, a little calf or something, like he was in a rodeo, you know, and I was like, what is he doing, you know? But it was a little bit of an intimidation factor, a little bit of, you know, him kind
are
of
you talking was, about there was a back that almost tried to hurdle him, and I think he just took his legs out in the back and then he kind of stood over
I did not see,
because that was a couple of games ago, and yeah. I saw him John he was looking down what? At the back John actually
yeah.
John
well, well no that was another time
yeah.
That's why it's been yeah. He has been playing a little, you know, a little on edge a little bit this year, but it was against the Panthers. I remember because we just watched. It was actually we watched the. It was like the media guys here put together a little highlight tape after wins, and we watched it the night before the next game, and we had just watched it in San Francisco. So it was you know, he kind of, you know, radio style lassoed up this guy and pulled him up off the ground and almost picked him up completely off the ground. But it was a pretty intense play. You know, he's playing at an extremely high level. I mean, and at his age and his experience, I shouldn't say age. I should say experience.
Wisdom.
Yeah. As experienced as he is.
Yes.
You know, he's just playing at an extremely, extremely high level. And it doesn't look like he's lost, you know, lost much. You know, it's just he's still making
he still
huge
loves
plays.
It. He still loves it.
Still loves it. Sure. Still loves, yeah. You know, still loves being around the guys and still loves being a guy in the locker room. And it's just, you know, it's those things that you know, you love about this game.
Let me ask you, you've seen quite a few cornerbacks in this league, and Aqib Talib, you know, he's had a couple of plays this year he's wanted to have back, but I didn't hear his name last week. You know, the reason I didn't hear his name is because his receiver never got the ball.
Right.
And, you know, shutdown corner, you know, you think Asamoah, you think Revis Island, all these things, but I think he's this close.
Right.
It's just a level of what your coach talks about all the time, just keeping your play at that consistent high level, every play, every snap, everything.
Right.
But Aqib seems to have turned it up since, I'd say, about 3 or 4 weeks ago. Is winning infectious, and does it create, God, that confidence that this young team seems to have? Is that what we're seeing, Jeff?
I think a little bit of that, but I also think, you know, Aqib's coming into his own. You know, this is his third year. Is it his third year?
Third year.
And it's at that point. I remember when it was near the end of my third year, beginning of my fourth year, where I really came into my own and really became comfortable as the player who I was. And Aqib's a guy that lives a little bit on the edge on the field, and it's a guy that he's willing to take a chance, you know. But he has a short memory. If something bad happens, you know, he obviously is upset about it. But the next play, he's back out there, and he's ready to go. And it's a guy that, you know, I would just love to be able to, you know, have him constantly on my team to shut down one side of the field. That's the guy, you know, I don't know if I'd pick another cornerback out there in the league right now. I really don't. And it's a guy that, you know, I love his confidence and his vibrato and just the way that he carries himself on the field, you know, and it's impressive, you know, and he just definitely has it, you know. And that's the type of attitude and character that you need, you know, for that type of cornerback. And, you know, I think he's exactly what this young defense needs and exactly what, you know, what we as an entire team needs, you know, for that. And it's, and you know what else too? It's healthy competition for our young wide receivers.
Sure. Imagine playing against those guys in practice every day. Sure.
During training camp, it was actually pretty chippy, and it was great.
It was great to watch.
Yeah, it was fantastic, and it helped our young wide receivers grow up fast. Because this guy was in their face, was jumping them, was covering them, was talking trash, was giving them everything that they were going to see this year. And, you know, and to, for a guy like Mike Williams to have the opportunity to go against Aqib Talib every single day, two times a day during camp, it's priceless. Because now when Mike Williams is out there, the guys that he's going against are not as good.
That's right.
You know, I really feel that, you know, Aqib is on the threshold of really becoming the guy at cornerback in this in this league. You know, he's definitely, you know, continuing to grow, and he's maturing off the field too. He's becoming, you know, all these the issues that he's had personally, you know, throughout his career, his young career, he's really starting to clean that up and really becoming the complete player. And it's a guy that I think this Buccaneers franchise should be proud of and can be proud of for years to come.
It's ironic, standby, Nick, we're coming in about 30 seconds, that the reason I was excited about Mike Williams was I saw him actually make a fantastic catch over Talib when Talib was on him like a cheap suit.
Right.
And I was like, ooh, this kid's got body control, you know, torquing, right. You know, hands catching, mm-hmm. going over the top of a corner, pulling the ball back, that kind of stuff over Aqib Talib. And I was like, that's when I said Mike Williams was good.
Right.
Was because, like you said, you saw him playing against a great corner. Going back to the phones, it's Buccaneers Total Access. Nick, you're on with Jeff Fain. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing tonight?
Excellent. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. I appreciate it. My brother and I are just driving the car, and this has kind of been something we've talked about, Jeff, since you got back. It looked like, and I'll ask my question, and then I'll hang up and listen to your answer, but it looked like, you know, when you went out, obviously Freeman started calling a lot of the protection. And then since you've got back, it looks like he might still be doing that. And I don't know if that's the case or not, but it seems like the play clock, you know, is running down week in and week out because he's making a lot of adjustments at the line. I was curious if he's still calling those protections or if you've taken that over. And if he's doing it, you know, why is that at this point in the season? And I appreciate everything, and I appreciate all your hard work and getting back and playing hurt.
Thank you. You know, Nick, it's actually a really good question. Freeman is actually – he's done a fantastic job of really internalizing this offense and really getting to know the protections and really, you know, homing that in and you know, making that his own. You know, when I was out – and even this entire year, we've really been trying to push for him to be able to do it even before I got hurt, for him to take over the protections and do that. And the reason why – and I'll just explain the reason why it's the best for him to do it. It's because it's easy for him to control the cadence because he's calling the cadence. If he needs to slow it down, if he sees something coming and he needs to change the protection, he can change it. He also has a very, very good ability to be able to adjust the protections and let the backs know and have them on page.
Yeah, you'll
as well.
See Caddy come up. When he comes up to the line, you'll see Caddy come right up with him to hear him
right.
and go back with
exactly.
him. You see it time and time again.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And there's times where Freeman – knows what blitz is coming, and he doesn't want to change the protection because he knows that he can beat it with his arm. He'll adjust the route. He'll communicate with his wide receivers and adjust the route to be able to, you know, hey, I know this blitz is coming. I don't need to change it. I just want to be able to throw it hot because I know I can make my receiver get open, and you know, we can have a huge play. There's been many times where him and Mike Williams has had that chemistry.
The longest touchdown in the Carolina game.
Yeah, to end up burning a defense by just making simple adjustments and not even changing the protections. So, you know, that's the reason why you'd want a quarterback to be able to handle it. All the great quarterbacks in this game that are successful and do it well, the Peyton Mannings, the Drew Breeses, the Tom Brady's, they all control the protections as well because they control the entire offense. There's not a lot of quarterbacks around the league that are able to internalize the protections, the routes, his responsibilities, who's hot, who's not. You know,
on the road in a noisy stadium
exactly.
in about, what, 15 seconds, Jeff?
Exactly. You know, and so basically, you know, my role has now become almost a consultant role where, you know, I'm there. Like if I see something where, you know, we're changing something where, you know, maybe this is a little better way to do it. And especially in the running game where, you know, that's still a process for him to he's got it. You know, it's like one of these things where you're 95% sure of something. Mm-hmm. He's not 100% sure of it, but he's at 95%. He knows what he's doing. And it's just me almost, you know, being that last 5%.
Sure.
You know, and be able to,
I saw you in the play clock when the play clock was running down, you kind of tapped the side of your glute.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like a second set of eyes and a consultant.
Exactly.
As you say, yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, it's just basically we're working together to be able to get it done and put our offense in the best position to be successful. And he's doing a fantastic job. And any of the guys, I mean, you know, fans, I really can't explain how hard this is. You know, it's extremely, extremely hard.
Vince Young.
Yeah.
There's two words.
But
the guy doesn't get it because it's not a 9-to-5 job.
It's not. But
it's not.
But even, you know, for me sitting in my second year, I'm reflecting back on my second year as an NFL player.
Yeah.
You know, for me, just thinking about how hard it was for me just to internalize my own personal job. And he knows what everybody's doing on the field. So a guy that's in his second year and playing at the level is not too much for him to take, you know, for him to take in and to know, you know, really, I think it's understated. And I really think that, you know, we don't give enough credit to where it's due about the job that he's doing and the job, you know, and also too, you know, and this is another thing, you know, I forgot to mention.
Got to give O-line kudos, dude.
Yeah, a little bit.
I mean, if he's throwing a ball that takes 4 seconds to throw,
sure.
You guys are keeping him standing.
For sure. But, you know, it's Pete Mangieri wouldn't let us give our offensive line any kudos, so I'm not going to. Another guy who I needed to add to the mix of what we're talking about a little earlier, what's different from this year and last year, was Coach Olsen had to coach the quarterbacks as well last year.
Yeah.
So it took him away from, you know, being able to game plan 100% all the time to be able to focus on, you know, what's the Donald Penn plays, you know, those things that, you know, where we can take advantage of a situation. He wasn't able to do those things. We have a guy in Alex Van Pelt as a coach, as a former player, who is a guy that works, you know, quarterback's coach that works with Josh Freeman and Josh Johnson, and Rudy down there, to to prepare him and get him mentally ready. And I have to give a lot of kudos to him to be able to work with Josh and to be able to put him in a position to be able to do all these things. Because, you know, without him, you know, it'd be tough for Coach Olson to be able to put all the time that he really needs to do to develop.
Well, think about Josh and think him. About this as well. We got to hit a break, but think about this as well. Sometimes, you know, remember, this is a young team. Well, some other teams might have one, sometimes even two veteran quarterbacks, you know, sitting back there holding clipboards.
There's none.
And there's none here. So what you have is Alex Van Pelt takes that role as the teacher as well. That's Jeff Fain. Want to talk to him? Get on the phones, 813-990-4620, 727-461-4620, and 1-800-596-BUCKS. Final Buccaneers total access for this week, and we got about 20 minutes. So get on those phone lines, and we'll take your calls when we come back right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
To Buccaneers Total Access. This is 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of Buccaneers football.
All right, welcome back, Buccaneers Total Access. It's Ledge alongside Captain Jeff Fain of the Buccaneers. John, stand by. We're coming to you. I wanted to ask a follow-up, but we had to hit a break because the whole idea of the calling the protections with the Baltimore Ravens and that little walk-around defense they do. Many the Steelers do it sometimes. You'll see the Jets. I saw the Browns do it. A lot of these 3-4 teams will do it. No one puts their hand down.
Right.
Everybody's walking around. Is there any way to dissect that, or is it almost like zone blocking? How do you guys attack that?
Well, you know, actually the 49ers did it for one play last week, and the Panthers had a package of it, and we picked it up both times with the Panthers. They did it twice, and we picked it up the time that San Francisco did it. And usually if you pick it up, you almost, you know, the teams that you're going against,
they get discouraged.
They're like, oh, yeah, well, yeah, they got this figured out. You know, let's go on to something else. You know, but, you know, this team's a little different. Baltimore is a team that it's not as easy to figure out because they have some guys at every position that do specific jobs and they do extremely well. And so it's going to be a little tougher for us to be able to dissect this and to be able to figure it out because a lot of these guys along this front can all make plays and can all play extremely well.
On the depth chart, normally in a 3-4, you'll see defensive tackle, nose tackle, defensive tackle, and then they'll list the linebackers, two outside, and they usually call the two inside. They actually list Suggs as a rush linebacker.
Right.
There's a Will, a Mike, and a Sam. I was looking at that today, and I was like, how about that?
Right.
Because the guy's got, like, what, 65, 70 sacks, something like that.
No, he's in a 4-3 defense, he'd be a defensive end.
Yeah.
You know, and for them, I mean, he's a perfect fit because – he can cover well enough just to keep people honest and so that you don't just send your protector to him every single time because he will drop back and cover enough. And the other outside linebacker, which is Jarrett Johnson, he is a good enough rusher to keep you honest too.
Sure.
So it's a guy that he's a little more of the guy that they'd rather drop back and rather, you know, do some more covering and do some things like that. But he's a great rusher too. And the fact that they keep you honest and you have to be able to respect the both. So you have to switch it up yourself. You have to switch it up on offense as well. And you have to be able to switch it up and send the protection one way, send the protection the other way, do some things that to keep them off balance as well. But these guys have been playing together for, you know, a couple of these, you know, important parts of this defense, important pieces have been playing together for some time now, and they know each other extremely, extremely well.
They're playing a tough division. You played in that division.
Yeah,
I did. Cold weather
that's
football.
A lot of these young guys, I tell them that's where I grew up. You know, I grew up in that division, and it's a tough division. It is, and it's they usually knock themselves out, you know, and really defeat themselves. They don't really, and so that's what really kind of holds them back.
Well, for years it just revolved around the Steelers, and you had to beat the Steelers, and you had to get physical, and the Ravens were one of the first teams to do it. The Browns eventually got around to doing it too.
Yeah.
They tried, you know, I think they were, you know, they kept thinking outside the AFC North mentality, but now they're back. But, you know, you guys actually, I'll tell you what, let me hold that thought. John's been hanging on, and I want to make sure we can get to him. John, I appreciate you standing by. Happy Thanksgiving. Welcome to the program.
Happy Thanksgiving to both of you, and God bless. And I'm glad to hear, Jeff, about recovering your family. And may the Lord grant you strength and your mother strength to continue.
I appreciate that.
No problem. God bless. This is the time, you know, for miracles. So I just had a couple comments, basically. I'm not a big offensive. I'm more of a defensive person. I've called in and talked to Ledge, Joe McCoy, before. Well, first of all, I just want to say some of the off-field issues that we've had this year, obviously, and with Mike Williams, what happened before the game with the 49ers, I was just wondering, is there any veteran leadership? Do you talk to the younger guys, and do you, you know, make them understand that what they do off the field is almost as important, if not more important, than what they do on the field? And then I'll listen off the air, but my second comment is I don't hear, I listen to Gene and Dave. I listen to the games on the radio.
Got a boy.
I'm home all the time. And,
I love you, John. I love you, buddy.
And I just, Dave is always talking, and I love him. Don't get me wrong. I'm not doing anything of that disrespecting. I'm just saying there was a lot of the first few games when we weren't running the ball. He kept saying our O-line, that's where, you know, that's the strength of our team. This is where we got to get better at, and we get better at. And now that you're, you know, subbing chatty with other people, it seems that we're obviously running the ball better now. And I just saying, go Bucks, love you guys. And I knew I had to read that story in the Times about Gary Sheldon saying that we had no chance of going to the 49ers, man. I love this. I love you putting it back into Gary. I love it.
Hey,
go Bucks,
we don't
love
get
you guys.
All right, John. I'm not gonna dance around that one. I will say this real quick, Jeff. I had heard there was a kind of like a rally. Some of the veterans had a private meeting after Mike's, you know, and Mike cleared his name, by the way, and that's all, you know, and he's done it the right way, by the way, by being totally above the board with everything he did. Mm-hmm. And like your general manager said, we're not going to suspend a guy for getting a speeding ticket.
Right.
But there was some leadership. I had heard something about some of the veterans getting together.
Yeah, you know, the captains got together, and yep. we really thought that, you know, as a family, and we view our team as a family, that we should really support our family when at the end of the day, he got a speeding ticket.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were, you know, we felt that it was also our responsibility, you know, to help him, you know, show him to help him along the way and to make better decisions. You know, and that's a big part because, especially in today's game at the NFL with Roger Goodell, the way he's controlling but running the NFL.
He's protecting the shield.
He is. And to be honest with you, at times, you know, on one hand, when I see, you know, a $50,000 fine for a hit, you know, I'm not exactly, you know, I'm not exactly in huge support of that. But the way that he's protecting the shield and protecting, you know, our reputation off the field, you know, I think, you know, for the current players, the guys that are having those licks and earning those licks that don't necessarily like that, I think 20 years from now, when they're NFL alumni and they want to be proud about the fact that they're NFL alumni, I think they'll appreciate that. And you know, I feel really blessed to be able to have the foresight to be able to, you know, really appreciate that now.
Sure,
Because, you know, it's something that, you know, especially for me in the business world, you know, at times I almost cringe when someone introduces me as an NFL player, because at times you almost, it almost discredits you in a way.
They suddenly think there's nothing above the neck.
Yeah. You know, and you know, kind of reckless and then just does whatever they want to do. And this is something that I think is helping to change the perception of that. And, you know, Roger Goodell, our commissioner, he is hard on the guys. But getting back to my point, especially in today's age, you know, it's extremely important when a player is making himself marketable to other teams and to their current team as well. When a team is going to invest multi-million dollars into a player, they want to make sure that they're investing into the right player. And not only the right player on the field, but the right player off the field. Because if it's going to cause distractions, if it's going to cause the fact that he's going to be suspended for games because of things that he's doing off the field, that's something that is a negative, you know, towards their investment. And that, at the end of the day, it is a business, and you have to, you know, owners look at it that way.
Sure.
And so I know that for a fact that, you know, you have to control yourself and have to police yourself in the fact that, you know, if you want to make yourself marketable and you make yourself as valuable as you really, you know, ought to be as your talent is on the field as compared to off the field.
You asking me to help me help you?
Are you, is that what we do?
You know, you but, no, but all joking aside, though,
yeah,
I mean,
sure.
It really
that's exactly
is
what
extremely,
you're talking. Yes,
extremely
sure.
important. Yep. You know, it's important to manage yourself that way. But it is part of our responsibility as the older guys, as the captains on this team, as the leadership on this team, not just the captains, but the guys who have been here, the guys that are a little, you know, a little further along in their careers and has gone through some things for us to impose that on these guys and on these younger guys and to help them along the way to see the light. You know, it's extremely important, you know, because it could end up costing us. You know, who knows? What if Cody Grimm didn't pan out?
That's right.
And
exactly.
You know, and
nothing against Tenard. I'm sure Tenard will be able to turn things around in his life.
No,
but,
it
left a void.
It did.
It left a
void. It did. And,
sure.
And thankfully that it was filled by a guy who's making plays and playing extremely well at a young age.
There's a lot of guys in this league. We got to hit a break, bro.
Yeah.
Barber, Brooks, Dunn, Allstott, Lynch. These are names that aren't just known for what they did on the field. These are guys that set the tone in Tampa Bay for everything they did off the field. We'll come back and wrap it up with Jeff Fain on Buccaneers Total Access on a Wednesday night on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Buccaneers Total Access returns on 620 WDAE and US 103.5, the home of the Buccaneers.
Welcome back, Buck fans. Scott Ledger alongside Jeff Fain. 7-3 Buccaneers. What's more fun, being 7-3 or checking the returns on your oil well?
Being 7-3.
Yeah.
The oil well will still come.
Did you do like a Jed Clampett kind of dance when you found out you struck oil? Because if I found out I actually struck oil, I would be doing – it would be on YouTube. It would be some ridiculous dance.
But, it was almost that ridiculous. I was in my backyard in Orlando, and it was fun.
Entrepreneur, you got your own nut company, you've got your own club, you've got your own clothing line.
The nuts are going in all the 7-Elevens. Papa D's nuts.
Yep.
It's going in all of 7-Elevens in Florida in January. It's going to be awesome. Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
And I know you still got the club. You got a clothing line you're working on? Or, anything else? Anything else new? Or?
Just the charity stuff, the cars. Yeah, the car, Camaro Customs over in Palm Harbor. We build custom hot rods. We actually built a charity car that we're auctioning off.
Is there a website for it?
Yeah, CamaroCustoms.com.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's a car that we built. It's a 67 Nova that we're donating to charity. It's being auctioned off at Barrett Jackson in West Palm in April, and we're excited about that. It turned out amazing.
That's
we're
Mopar,
awesome,
dude. That's old school.
Awesome, awesome cars.
Yeah,
so
you like muscle cars?
Oh yeah, I got a 64 Chevelle that I drive quite often. It's prime and then a little bit of a cruiser. I got a 64 Lincoln Continental, and then we're building a 57 Bel Air, Chevy Bel Air, that's going to have twin turbos. We're going to have about 1,200 horses in this thing. It's going to be
put a blower on that thing.
Yeah,
not going to be street legal.
No.
Okay.
There's nothing legal about that car.
Any new tats? I'm looking at your. I don't think.
No, nothing.
Nothing new on
nothing,
the sleeve
nothing
yet.
Fresh. No, I'm going to finish this sleeve this off season. So I have completely done. Completely done, and now that'll be my last tattoos.
And that'll be it.
That'll be it.
Yeah, I've heard that from every friend that I know that has a tattoo.
But
there's no such thing as that's my last
one. I'm really am running out of skin. I really I won't go outside of a suit. So I think this is that'll be it.
All right, you know we only got about 40 seconds left, but a message for Buck fans. I know you guys are on the road, but tell the fans what to expect this Sunday.
It's going to be an awesome, awesome, exciting game that is going to be very, very competitive. You're going to see a great defense in the Baltimore Ravens, and you're going to see us be able to take it on offense, and you're going to see our defense hopefully go down and shut these guys down again. You know, they had a huge game last week, so I'm excited to see these guys again this
week.
Good
stuff, good stuff. We're out of time, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Stay healthy.
Appreciate it.
Hi, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you on the pregame on Sunday. I'm Scott Ledger. This is Buccaneers Total Access on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Good night.
You've been listening to Buccaneers Total Access on 620 WDAE and US 103.5, the home of Buccaneers football.